Today we celebrate, of course, Thanksgiving. The very name tells us what it's about. But I wonder, for how many people is this day not characterized by thankfulness? What normally characterizes Thanksgiving Day? Probably for the vast majority of people. Eating. And we're good. We're okay with eating, and we're okay with football. What? Shopping. Oh, shopping more now than ever. A day off from work. Okay? Those are things that characterize the day. But there are people who really never stop to give thanks to God or to others. But also, Thanksgiving isn't just something that we should celebrate one day out of the year, is it? For some people, Thanksgiving ought to be an everyday and an all-day occurrence and happening. Well, you have on the back of your order of service today just a couple of questions. Number one, what is the opposite of Thanksgiving? What is the opposite of Thanksgiving? Give me something that you would say is the opposite of Thanksgiving. Grumbling or complaining. Discontent. Depression. Worry. Selfishness. Complacency. Good. Pride. I put complaining, murmuring, bitterness, unhappiness, disgust. Have you ever done something nice for someone and instead of receiving a grateful word of thanks, you were actually the brunt of someone's unhappiness or disgust or anger? We were one time in Acapulco, down in the southern coast of Mexico. And it's only about 3.5 hours from Mexico City. And there was a lady in the swimming pool with a little baby, and she stepped off the end where the shallow end is, and she went into the deep end. And she couldn't swim, and she had a baby in her arms. And she was, well, Faith went over there, and she got the baby, and somehow I got the baby. And then the lady grabbed Faith, and she pushed her under. You know how drowning people do that. And Faith was practically drowning herself, but she saved the lady. And the whole day we saw that lady, and she just looked at Faith with absolute disgust. And you would think, you saved her life. Maybe you ought to be a little bit thankful. But there was no thankfulness involved at all. Many people don't say thank you to other people when someone gives them something or does something nice for them. So those things are the opposite of Thanksgiving. Number two, what kind of people do not give thanks? What kind of people do not give thanks? Well, people who are selfish. That's the first one. If you're selfish, who are you thinking of? Yourself. So why would I give thanks to you if it's all about me? People who are, John Davis said it, proud. People who are proud don't give thanks. Thirdly there, those who are without Christ. Those who are without Christ. But this is also a characteristic. A lack of thankfulness is a characteristic of people, those who profess faith in Christ, those who profess faith in Christ, but they deny his power in their lives. And that's why we've gone to 2 Timothy chapter 3 to start this morning. Let us read verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Difficulty there means times that are hard to take, times that are hard to bear. The word can also mean fierce. And then it gives an example of these times that are hard to bear and hard to take. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, That's the one I wanted us to really focus on there. Ungrateful. Unholy. Heartless. Unappeasable. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Not loving good. Treacherous. Reckless. Swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And verse 5 tells us, you might say, yeah, all these people are really bad people. And that's the kind of world we live in. But this isn't really talking about people who are out there in the world. It says, verse 5, having the appearance of godliness. These are people who like to look and appear religious. They're people who go to church. They're people like us. They have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And Paul says to Timothy, avoid such people. Now, we read of sinful attitudes and actions here that characterize these times of difficulty. And really, ever since the time of the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words until now, we are living in difficult times. What characterizes times like these? Well, the verses we just read in 2 through 5. Our next space there. One characteristic of difficult times is that people are what? Ungrateful. Okay? People are ungrateful. Number 3. All right? Number 1. What is the opposite of thanksgiving? Number 2. What kind of people do not give thanks? They're proud, selfish, without Christ, and people who profess faith in Christ but deny its power, deny his power in their lives. Number 3, what kind of people give thanks? And now we need to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is basically a plea from the Apostle Paul to this church in the city of Corinth in Greece. And he is saying, listen, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who live in Jerusalem, and they are being persecuted, and they have great need. And the churches that Paul had started around Asia and other places, he was going to them and asking them for money for these poor saints who lived in Jerusalem. And he asked that in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He was basically speaking about why they should be a giving people to these believers in Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, in Israel. And verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 15, Paul says, you know, why do people give to the Lord? Why do people give to others if they are in Christ? Well, verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So what, number 3, what kind of people give thanks? The answer, people who have received what? What does that verse say? People who have received an inexpressible gift. You've never heard me be on a point so short. Let's go to number 4. What gift have they received that is inexpressible? What gift have they received that is inexpressible? What does the word inexpressible mean? Kind of hard. It's hard to express. Can't find words to say. Two people said the same thing. Can't be described. Actually, the word means indescribable, if you'd like to put that for the next word. It is indescribable. Have you ever received a gift on this earth that is indescribable? Did you ever get something for Christmas and somebody said, what did you get? And you said, well, I got, well, I just can't describe it. No, you and I have never, ever received a gift that is indescribable like that. How do we describe gifts? With colors, shapes, sizes, textures. They're all descriptive ideas that we use to express the greatness of a gift that we have received, and we describe that to other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. What is this inexpressible, this indescribable gift? Verse 9. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. He has all the glory that his Father has. Why does it say was? When he was in heaven, before the incarnation, before the eternal Son of God took flesh and came to this earth. He was rich. He is the owner of everything. Can we give him anything to make him more rich? No, he is the owner of everything already. Yet, for your sake, he became poor. Think of how you have seen other people in need throughout your life. And if you have done anything to try to alleviate their suffering, perhaps you gave a gift of money or a gift of food. How much did you give? Did you give them more than half of what you have? No. We give out of abundance. And I can afford to let this go, and I can afford to give this. Jesus, the owner of all, rich, for your sake, he became poor. He went from riches to absolute poverty, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. We would never give anything to anyone so that they would have more than us. That wouldn't cross our minds. We would say, I will alleviate your suffering. And we're up here, if you're giving something. They're down here, and you say, okay, I went down this much, and they came up this much. And here we have the owner of everything, the universe, who was rich. He is the God and the owner of the universe. And he became poor so that we might become rich. Not him still a little bit above us, or even he became poor so that we might become rich. How do you express, how do you describe a gift like that? You and I on this earth have never received a gift that is indescribable. On Sunday, we saw that Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure that a person could possibly have. And most people treat the treasure as what? What was the highfalutin word that we used? Garbage. People treat the treasure, who is Jesus Christ, as garbage. And they treat garbage as their treasures. And that's because they have never seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And anyone who has ever seen the greatness and the worth of Jesus Christ has an inexpressible gift. Anyone who does not see him for his worth has something that is very easy for them to describe. He is the man upstairs. He is someone that we should simply trash by taking his name in vain when things go wrong. And when things go wrong, they just angrily use his name in vain. Our next space, people who have received the grace of God through Jesus Christ have a gift that they cannot describe. People who have received the grace of God through Jesus Christ have a gift that they cannot describe. But They try. They try. We sing of His matchless worth. We talk to others of how good and how great He is. We read the Bible and try to discover and know Him better. And we could never, ever give a good description of who Jesus Christ is. Why is that? Why is He indescribable? Why do we lack words to describe Him? Alex? Because He's so big. Another idea along those same lines. Why can we not describe Him? Because He is infinite. How do you describe infinity? I remember as a kid trying to think of how long hell would be, how long heaven would be. How long is eternal death? How long is eternal life? And you can only get a little ways. Because we are finite creatures. He is infinite. How do you describe infinity? Well, you might be here this morning and you say, what does it mean to receive Christ Jesus the Lord? That is an indescribable, inexpressible gift. And people talk about receiving Christ. Well, it means that you have seen yourself as a poor, miserable, unclean, and undone sinner before a holy God. And you have seen that your sin has separated you from Him. And you deserve one thing because of your sin, and that is God's wrath. And you've seen the greatness of Jesus Christ. And you have trusted that He obeyed His Father, God, in your place for all the times that you have disobeyed. And Jesus died in your place, facing and taking on Him all of the wrath that His Father should have poured out on you. And when someone comes to Jesus Christ with a humble heart, recognizing, I deserve wrath, but that Jesus is a willing Savior who paid it all in my place, they trust Christ and they believe Him. And they deposit all of their confidence in Him. You know, we have mutual funds. Why do people invest in mutual funds? Why don't they just put all their eggs in one basket? Well, there's five companies, and I'm going to invest in this company, this company, this company, this company, and this company. Because if this company has a bad year, at least these other four might have a good year, and I'll lose a little bit there, but I won't lose at all. And I'll actually gain over here. And so people deposit their confidence in, I was baptized. I go to church. Mary can help me. A certain saint can help me. I do pretty good works. Oh, and Jesus too. I'll trust in Him. And no, Jesus is an inexpressible gift. And all of our confidence, all of the trust of anyone to be saved from our sins must be deposited in Jesus Christ. All of your eggs have to be in one basket. And that basket is Jesus. And then a person like that says, if Jesus Christ fails, I have no hope. I don't have anything else to fall back on. He's my only hope. And it is this kind of people who have every reason and motive for thanksgiving. And we could not do anything to save ourselves. We were not interested in doing anything to save ourselves. We didn't even think that we needed saving. And God opened our eyes to our dire circumstances and brought us to Jesus Christ. And people who have been saved by Christ, they love Him and they are thankful for Him. They thank Him. There is not another theme that should fill our hearts with thanksgiving more than the great and free salvation that God has given to us in Christ. You think of someone today who doesn't have Jesus Christ. And they say, wow, I had a good year. Thanks, God. And really, what they might be saying is, I really did a pretty good job this year. But to make this appear kind of spiritual, thanks, God. But I did a lot of work. And that's why I got ahead. Why are you not paralyzed today on your back? Unable to make a living. That is by God's good grace, his patience. And his patience is always to bring people to repentance. Proud people do not give thanks. People who have been humbled by their sin and by a willing Savior are people who give thanks. Humble people say, thank you. Proud people do not. Why? I think we have our last space here today. Humble people need God's grace. Humble people need God's grace. Proud people need no grace. Well, they actually need it, don't they? They just don't know that. Humble people need God's grace. Proud people need no grace. At least they think that they need no grace. And then humble people give thanks. Humble people give thanks. Proud people, our next space, proud people thank themselves for all of their successes. Thankful people have something to be thankful for. And thankful people have someone to be thankful to. I know you're not supposed to end a sentence in a preposition, but I don't know how else to say that. Thankful people have something to be thankful for. What do we have to be thankful for if you are here today in Jesus Christ? An unspeakable, inexpressible, indescribable gift of God's Son. And thankful people have someone to be thankful to. It's possible to just go around in a general manner saying thank you, but not thanking God, who is the author and the giver of all good things. And so we look at this morning, and people who have Jesus Christ should say, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And God, help me not to stay in this inexpressible state, okay? But as help me to know you better. Help me to see you. Help me to learn you in the scriptures. And so that I can express more and more the worship and the adoration and the praise that you alone deserve. And may God give us grace as we thank him today for his inexpressible gift. Father, as we look at your word today, we are mindful that we are nothing in and of ourselves. If we could have a glimpse of you today in all your glory, we would be undone. We would melt. We would be destroyed. And Father, we come to you recognizing that in order to be in the presence of our God who is a burning fire, we must have a shield. And that shield is none other than Jesus Christ. Father, he is the only one who is a shield to us and for us. And because, only because of his righteousness can we have any righteousness to appear before you. And so help anyone here today who is outside of Jesus Christ. Father, open their eyes that they would see his glory and his beauty, that they would see their own sin and their need of a Savior. And Father, open their eyes to Christ today. And for those who are here, who have believed into your Son, who have trusted him, whose eyes you have opened, Father, may our lives, not just today, but may our whole lives be characterized by gratitude. Gratitude to you because of your grace in Jesus Christ in our lives. Thank you for your indescribable gift. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.